This week in the markets, the precious metals rallied while U.S. equities took a much-deserved rest. Well, welcome back to GoldSeek.com Radio, everyone. Your host, Chris Walczek, back with you on this March 22nd episode. Season 14, episode 688, recorded nearly entirely on the road this week from beautiful and sunny Gainesville, Florida. Big shout out to Jenna, Izzy, Lily, Tom, and Sandy, who just made it the best week in years. If you have a chance to visit Gainesville, you'll definitely want to see the Museum of History at the university campus. And if you have kids, prepare for them to beg to stay all day with their robot-sized dinosaurs, indoor butterfly sanctuary, endless rooms of epic dinosaur exhibits where everyone can find something and even be an amateur paleontologist for the day, dig up fossils on the premises. Plus, there's a mile-long deck walk where you can view the alligators in town, wildlife in its natural habitat, and if you're really daring, the bottomless boat ride in Silver Springs, where the captain will give you a tour with commentary of blue shad, tilapia, and if you look closely, underwater statues. Last but not least, the local outdoor festivals. Be sure and listen for Emmett Carlisle's band for a fun-filled afternoon. Well, my guest this week, hailing from sunny Miami, Florida, home of the exotic Miami Beach, Charles Nenner rejoins the show. He outlines proprietary market models, entries, and exits, including gold, where he thinks we could see 2,500, nearly twice the current level. And if you fancy yourself a technical analyst, be sure and listen in to his solar flare model. Then former NFL player Bill Murphy of Gata.org returns with commentary on the silver markets. We discuss all the recent topicality and lay out a bullish case for the markets. And the Q&A hotline. We'd love for you to call in to our hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 641-715-3900, followed by extension number 514049. You can address the question to my guest if you like, 641-715-3900, extension number 514049, if you jot it down or plug it right into your phone. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest must-hear commentary. GoldSeek.com Radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility virtually unlimited over the precious metals sector this week as investors sent gold soaring to a 10-month record high, shrugging off more hawkish Fed rhetoric, focusing instead on the positive trade talks that put the U.S. dollar under pressure. At this week's closing bell, all the precious metals indices finished firm, with the yellow metal adding about $10 before settling at Friday's close at $13.12. Silver picked up 10 cents at $15.41, while the XAU precious metal shares picked up $1.33 at around $77. Black gold added 50 cents at $54, well off the lows recorded several months ago. And palladium was off just $3 at $15.15, taking a break there. Its sister metal, though, jumped $17, 5% this week, looking very solid at $8.50, as engineers now are doing their best to shift gears to platinum, with that $700 price differential nearly there, making catalytic conversion much more appealing with platinum, of all things, than palladium. So I understand it's rather a complex and tedious process, but believe me, with that type of a price advantage, it's probably worthwhile. In economic news this week, rhodium is now twice as valuable as gold. I'd like for people to take a look, if you're interested, in the rhodium ETF, XRHO.L. The top story moving the precious metals this week, news that the U.S. Federal Reserve has officially given up of its three-year-long rate hike cycle, noting no further rate hikes this year. Apparently, investors just figured this out. We've been pounding the table on this for 6 to 12 months here on the show. Fed officials removed about half a percentage point from their GDP growth estimates of this year, noting concerns about Europe and China weakening economic activity. So there's just no room, really, for rate hike. Meanwhile, lowered expectations of U.S. economic growth translated to even stronger fears that its top trading partners could experience economic contraction, as seen in the PMI data out of the European Union. News that businesses across the Eurozone performed much worse than expected this month, as reports of factory activity slowing down by the fastest rate, actually, in nearly 6 years. In addition, continued trepidation over the geopolitical Brexit drama and lessened expectations of a resolution between the U.S. and China in that trade war. Elsewhere, reports from the U.S. Labor Department showed that the number of Americans filing applications for unemployment benefits fell more than expected last week, and other data showed a measure of manufacturing activity on the East Coast blasted into high gear, according to the Philadelphia Fed report. Bottom line on precious metals. The markets look like they may need a slight pause here, but still, if we hold on to Jim Cramer of Mad Money CNBC's comments of $1,400 to $1,500 gold, I wouldn't be surprised at all for the precious metals to continue to surprise folks on the upside in the weeks and months ahead. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, partly cloudy weather was seen over the New York Stock Exchange this week on growing concerns over the trade war between the U.S. and its largest trading partner. By Friday's closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow was off 342 points, while the S&P 500 was off 22 at 2,800, and the NASDAQ finished around 7,643. The top story driving the markets this week, the benchmark U.S. indices were lower, as well as the European equities on weaker than expected economic data. Plus, the Purchasing Managers Index for the Eurozone was much weaker than expected, suggesting a possible contraction in global growth, which sent many investors to the sideline. U.S. shares, bottom line. Well, the Greed to Fear Index suggests the herd is still a bit over-optimistic, not terribly ebullient, though. From a technical perspective, we should see a healthy consolidation. And I remain in the neutral camp here, still cautiously optimistic that if we can hold our ground, perhaps higher highs later in 2019 on U.S. shares. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio.
It's just a real pleasure to welcome back Charles Nenner from the Nenner Institute, Research Institute.
Is it good to be back? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long. We were talking before the show about U.S. equities. You know, listeners are really interested to hear. It's been an exciting roller coaster ride over the last 6 months. What are the charts and your models telling you about U.S. shares, please?
We were long S&P in the last move, I think from 2440. The price target was 28.38, so we took profit the last 2 days. We need to see a good close above 28.38 to get higher price targets. And looking at cycles, there's some risk in the market, so we're keeping an eye on the 2800 level. If we see a good close below 2800, then the bounce might be over for a while. So that's the situation. On the Dow, the level to watch is about 300 points lower from here.
Folks, they were unnerved by the sell-off we saw at the end of last year in U.S. shares. Do you see things stabilizing from here? I mean, it looks like we might even make an assault on maybe new highs later in 2019. What are your models telling you, please?
Well, we went out in January, and there were a couple of reasons. One might interest you that you can look it up every time a year ends with a 7. You have serious weakness, so that's why there was weakness from January. If you go back 10 years, it's 2007, 2008, or everybody knows what happened over there. If you go back 10 years, then you get 97, 98, there was the Asian crisis. Then 10 years is 87, the crash of 87, then 67. So don't ask me why, but the very clear cycles, and once a year ends with a 7, then it's time to get out. Now, the fact that people didn't get worried is worrying to me, because we keep a close eye on a big client, and all the big clients were selling in January, and a smaller investor was still buying in January. And at the low, the big investor was buying, and the small investor took some profits from selling. So the fact that they are nerfed worries me a little bit. But in general, we don't expect a good low to see until the late 2020 in the different markets.
Did I understand you correctly when you said if a year ends in a 7, a prime number, doesn't bode well for shares?
Then after that ends the 7, you usually have a serious correction, which we had this year. And so we're totally out of the market. There were other reasons why we're totally out of the market. The spread between the 10-year and the 2 years broke up. So there was a sell signal. One more thing that you find very interesting is if you would make a lock chart and you connect the tops from 1929 with the 87 and 2007 high, then we were exactly, I think it was 2600, and the Dow were exactly at the top of the line. Now, sophisticated investors use lock charts. Most individual investors don't look at lock charts, but they work much better than the general charts that are being shown to you.
When you talk about a year ending in 7, I mean, look, 1929 was not far from 1927.
That's why it was one and a half year late, and that's why it was such a big crash. Got it in 1907 was 117 and 37, you know, that the whole thing came down again. And 47, 57, 67, it came a little bit up. 67 was, for a long time, the top of the bull market.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's the ominous 1987. You might remember the Asian flu in 1997. Right. Lest we forget 2007, which led to 2008, 2009, you know, the Great Recession.
2017 was over, then it was time to get out, and at the low we got in. Now, you know, we do the cycle work, and don't ask me why these cycles work, but we have cycles that project the lows also. So it makes life very easy in investing, because you know when markets go up and markets go down, you don't have to watch the news. People find it difficult to use these things if they don't know how they work. As I maybe told you once before, I've been trained as a medical doctor, and if they told me the red pill is going to save your life, they gave me the red pill, even if I didn't know how it works. So I don't have a problem using indicators that I don't know how they really work.
You've noted in the past that you have some interesting hypotheses as just why it might work.
Well, I have a hypothesis that I tell you in 2 minutes. It has been proven there is a sunspot activity. The sun gives out sunspots, and the intensity has an electromagnetic field on the Earth, and that has an influence on crystallization of water, the way it crystallizes. And our brains are like 80% water, so then what green spectroscopists call exuberance is just based on what the magnetic field does to the water in our brains, and that makes us positive or negative, and doesn't have to do much with fundamentals, because let's be honest, everybody knows the same fundamentals. Everybody has a nice IQ, so why do people, certain people invest better than other people? It has to do with something else, which is psychology and emotion.
You know, it's funny you'd mention this about solar radiation, because one of our guests here, Arch Crawford, he agrees with you. Those spikes in solar flares and increased solar activity, he believes that it impacts mass psychology.
It does, and that's the underlying physicality of the cycle work. So the only thing you have to do is you have to build a cycle in the sunspots. If people want to look at it, you go to the NASA website, and the NASA website gives you for a week ahead, gives you the intensity of the sunspots, and then you make an overlay of what the Dow Jones does, and that's how you get a feel for how one thing influences the other.
Charles Nenner, any other markets you're watching? You know, we love Bitcoin. Of course, the precious metals, gold and silver, platinum and palladium.
First of all, we do Bitcoin. That's very easy, because nobody can say that's the fundamentals. It's up till the short term, up till the 28th of the month, and price target has been reached for the moment, 4,000. Longer term, next year, we still see a higher Bitcoin. But it has to make a close about 4,300 and really get out of this mess. Now, gold, you asked me about gold. I think we're long gold. I think it was stopped out today. We have a stop if it closed below 1,300. It can hang around for the whole month of April. This it has to hold above 1280. If it breaks the 1280, then the bounce is over. But the bounce should be over by April, late April, and then the real buying opportunity is in November this year.
Are you a fan of the XAU and the HUI? Do you like the shares?
Yeah, you know, if you do new one mining, it's the same thing as XAU. It's like 50% or so. But the GLD is a good play, and people who don't want to wait can buy shares because I think they give like 3% dividend. And if you buy the shares and you get a dividend and you sell a nice call, then you can hold it till November, till the market bottoms. I don't like to have my emotions on the wrong side of investing. Again, as you maybe know, we give for at least a month, we give our research for free. And if you really want to know where the cycles are on gold, just write into the website, and then for 4 weeks or more, you can watch how we calculate the highs and the lows.
Great. We'll have those links put up. Black Gold had a really good week. It kind of bucked the trend last week. And also there is palladium, which has been a fascinating story, blasting above yellow metal. The rumor is that they're accumulating it in China on expectations of record auto sales and the catalytic converter demand. Any thoughts there?
Well, we took profit on crude yesterday. We were crude, we're long for 43 or something like that because the cycle is a bit toppy over here. We don't mind giving away 2 or 3 or 4% on the upside as long as we're always on the right side of the market. So once the cycle top, I have been conditioning people who invest with me that don't think what you could have made, just make sure you're always on the right side of the market. So cycles look a bit too risky for us, so we went out of the crude oil. Palladium, I'm not following, but now that you say, I'm going to see what I can do. If you want to call me in a week, then I can see if I can build a cycle of palladium. But there's no end to what we can do. But what I usually say is if you follow the markets that we do know, there's enough potential so you don't have to look at markets that we don't know.
We're definitely going to call you next week on palladium and see if you've had a chance. You know, I mean, I bet you can remember when palladium was just $200 or $300 an ounce. And here we are in, you know, flirting with $1,500, $1,600. Charles Nenner, just the best stuff. I mean, you share with us your proprietary, you know, material. You don't have to do that.
People who watch the research on Sundays, they get a printout of what we see on a computer. So they see exactly how we calculate it.
Great. And are you in Europe today or the United States?
No, I'm in Miami.
We're in Florida recording this in Florida as well.
Where are you, Florida?
We're actually in Gainesville. It's sort of near the Panhandle.
Okay, when you get to Miami, I'm here for another 3 weeks or so. Come and have a coffee with me.
Oh, I'd love nothing more. Miami is probably my favorite destination on Earth. All right, my friend, we'll talk soon.
Okay, we will.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses VaultChain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. VaultChain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. VaultChain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's just a pleasure to welcome back Bill Murray. Murphy with us here today on the show at Gata.org and La Metropole Cafe.
Thanks.
So much going on here to discuss, and I wanted to lead off today with comments from Hugo Salinas Price. He is just one of our perennial silver superstars, if you will, and he's made some interesting comments, quoted twice on Gata.org this week, looking for a lot of trouble with reserve currency for the precious metals to be restored to their proper place as, you know, the kings of currencies. Any thoughts there?
Well, there's no finer guy going than Hugo Salinas Price. He's, you know, one of the wealthiest and most highly regarded people in all of Mexico, and has followed God and given us support for many, many years and come to our conferences. And we love the guy, and there's nobody smarter than he is, and he has a track record to prove it. And I hope he's right about, you know, what he's talking about in terms of the precious metals. I know they're so cheap, and it's really overdue to have the prices really take off.
Yeah, no, he points out that Jerome Powell, our relatively new Federal Reserve Chairman here in the U.S., there's very little he can do. He's convinced that the Reserve Chairman, and this is a quote, is in a box. He's boxed himself into essentially a corner. It's an insoluble problem. There's just no way to avoid creating more credit. And we all know that's just fancy economics lingo for firing up the printing presses.
Just a few minutes ago, the Fed came out and was much more dovish than anybody thought, even. And there were some people thinking that way, but much more so. And dollar's getting hit, and gold is taking off after this report, at least initially here. And it's very rare that we get this after Fed speak. Normally, they love to kill it. So this is really, I think, surprised a lot of people that they're that bullish. They're talking about no interest rates hikes this year. It's a very positive development for gold and silver.
You know, I think you could make a case that this is just one side of the coin, just half of the equation. Because if we look on the other side, there's, you know, the European economic ministers. They're not talking dovish, are they, Bill Murphy? I mean, they're talking heading the other way, you know, with higher rates on their agenda. That's going to improve the prospects, as we saw last week in the euro, which spiked and broke out of a trading range. That euro/dollar trade is probably the most important relationship, you might say, in the currency world. And I think that bodes well for precious metals, and which are still priced in U.S. dollars. Any comments?
Well, you know, gold has been going up and down. I mean, the dollar has been going up and down and up and down. And some days gold's reacting to it now, and some days it's not. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, in terms of importance, in terms of really gold market, a big tailwind. So we'll have to see. Of course, from my standpoint, as you probably might know what I have to say, the most important thing is how much physical gold or silver does the gold cartel or J.P. Morgan have to stop these markets from going where they should have gone a long time ago. Each time we get going, they stop it. They raid the thing, the prices. And that, to me, is the real key.
You know, Craig Hemke, one of our favorites here, and a good friend of Gata and Sprott, he agrees with you, and he's looking for more quantitative easing. He points out that as interest rates are cut by the Federal Reserve, the last time a similar scenario came to pass, the metals just, and I quote, soared. He makes a compelling case for this at SprottMoney.com on their blog. Any comments there?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that hasn't been talked about that much lately is the yield of the 10-year T-note keeps going down. It's down at 2.57% the last time I looked, maybe lower now. And that doesn't forebode a great economy and things going well in the U.S., as many in the mainstream keep, you know, telling people. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, moving on here. You may remember the Liberty Dollar. I think it was Bernard von Notthaus. All the trouble he found himself in there for supporting real money, as I believe they actually minted their own silver dollars. Today, you know, nobody really thinks about it. I'm the only podcaster out there who hasn't created their own silver money, right? There's a lot of interest now in Live Oak, Florida, for these original silver-backed Liberty dollars. We've heard about this, Bill Murphy, out west, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, and others who are now accepting, many of them, Bitcoin as well as real money, gold and silver, taxes and other for other payments. Is this a theme that's important, or is this just a novelty, an anomaly?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, the more it goes that way, the better in my book, but I think it's more of a novelty or something at least that's going to take many, many years to be more than that, and I wish everybody the best of luck that's doing it and hope it goes well. But, you know, it's hard to imagine having it any real effect on the gold-silver prices.
Let's shift over to the geopolitical arena. You know, we're reading at Gata.org and GoldSeek in Hong Kong is spending billions of dollars, approximately $6.5 billion, defending its peg to the U.S. dollar, to the reserve currency. It's one of those undercurrents that's, I think, difficult for the everyday investor to wrap their minds around. Do you expect at some point for the yuan and for other key currencies in that six-currency basket, the reserve currency the dollar is in, to eventually unravel this odd carry trade-like scenarios that still exist out there? And what might that mean for the precious metals?
Well, there's a lot of people right now that believe that it's very important for gold to go up, that the Chinese yuan gets stronger. And it's some days it trades like that, and it seems to be very important. Other days it doesn't make any difference. Again, from my standpoint, it's all what the gold cartel can do. And I know that a while back, people were talking about how gold was trading with the yen, and then that faded, and it's the yuan, and then it goes in circles. And I think that these things are all important issues, but the big one will be the physical market in gold and silver, and do the bad guys have enough to keep the prices down where they are, or are they finally going to have to retreat? And I'm hoping that that's what's coming soon.
All right, and maybe end the discussion today with just a touch of economic levity, if there is such a thing. At Gata, they discuss an article from CNBC where it turns out the Fed chairman informed the public on 60 Minutes interview that he cannot be removed from office by our POTUS. He's just convinced that the president can't reverse his decision to bring Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell into office at the head of the economic think tank there.
You never know what President Trump's going to do, that's for sure. At least try. And by the way, you mentioned Bernard. I wish him well. I had lunch with him here in Dallas many, many years ago with he was around, going around promoting the Liberty Dollar. He's a good man.
He was one of the first guests on the show. It was Bill Murphy, Mark Faber, Jim Rogers, and Bernard von Nothaus. All right, my friend, we always appreciate your help.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's a pleasure to welcome back Peter Schiff today from his home office.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, how are you? And I know you're watching the Fed. What's going on with the Fed?
Well, the Fed is basically doing exactly what I've been saying, you know, it would do on your program, on my podcast, ever since before the Fed raised rates for the first time, when they were talking about raising rates or normalizing rates, I said at the time that if they ever hiked rates in an attempt to normalize them, they would never be able to complete the process, that somewhere along the way, the Fed would have to pause and then ultimately go back to zero. Because when you inflate a gigantic bubble and you build an economy that's built for 0% interest rates and quantitative easing, you can't take that stuff away any more than you can take the drugs away from an addict and expect the addict to stay high without the drug. So I knew this day would come. And in fact, because Trump was elected, it probably came a couple of years later than it might otherwise have arrived. But the Fed basically did it, did what I said they were going to do for the exact reason I said they would do it. I said that, you know, the stock market would eventually drop 20%, become a bear market, and the Fed would have to come to the rescue of the market by, you know, cutting rates. But obviously before they can cut rates, they have to stop hiking them, and that was the first part of my forecast. But I don't think that the mere cessation of future rate hikes is enough. I think this is still a bear market. I think we're still headed for recession, and so the Fed is going to have to do more if it wants to try to blow the air back in the bubble, which is why I think we're going back to zero and we're going back to QE. And when that happens, you know, the bottom's going to drop out of the dollar.
Okay, so we've cut back not quite $1 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet. So you're expecting them to start buying up toxic debt and reverse the rate cycle here?
Well, in fact, the Fed said that. The Fed just put quantitative easing back on the table. You know, a few months ago, they said that quantitative tightening was on autopilot. And no matter what happened in the economy, they were going to continue to shrink their balance sheet. Well, that scared the stock market, which is one of the reasons it fell so rapidly. And now the Fed changed its mind and said, well, of course, if we have an economic downturn, we want to use all the tools at our disposal. And they're talking about quantitative easing their balance sheet. So as soon as the economy slips, the Fed has already said that they're going right back to the QE well. And so the balance sheet's going to explode to new highs.
Okay, so give us the implications for gold and silver. We've certainly seen some big moves in palladium. Will we see something like that in the other precious metals?
Yeah, well, I mean, gold's at an eight-month high earlier this morning. It's been creeping higher, you know, back above 1,300, above 1,320. But we haven't really broken out yet. I mean, I'm not sure where the breakout level is going to be, maybe sometime somewhere between 1,350 and 1,400. But I think when the market rolls over, and starts going down again, that could really be the catalyst to lift gold, because then the markets will start anticipating rate cuts and more QE. I mean, right now they just think the Fed's on hold, but even being on hold is very bullish for gold when everybody believed the Fed was going to keep hiking just, you know, a few weeks or a month ago. And that was a big, headwind for gold, was the idea that the Fed was going to keep tightening, that they were going to keep shrinking the balance sheet, that was going to support the dollar, it was going to hurt gold. But that whole story is now being rewritten, and it's much more bullish for gold. And as more people figure out just, you know, how badly this story is going to end, at some point gold's just going to take off.
Okay, your former colleague Michael Pinto uses regression analysis as well as multivariate models to get a good idea on where he sees the market and the economy headed. Do you synthesize your thoughts using this type of analysis?
I'm not familiar with those models, and I have no idea whether they actually work, so I can't really comment on them. But you don't need models to understand the effects of monetary policy on the value of the dollar, on how many dollars you need to buy an ounce of gold. I mean, it's clear to me, I don't need a model to know that the Fed has inflated with a gigantic bubble, or to know that that bubble has basically popped and the air is coming out. I mean, that's exactly why the Fed did what I've been saying they were going to do since before the first rate hike. I mean, and the same thing when it comes to the quantitative tightening. But there's just no way to know the exact timing of when other people wake up to the reality that should have been obvious to them all along. But what tends to happen is people act in a herd. And so everybody is going to finally come to that right conclusion at the same time. And then, of course, you get violent reactions in the markets and the currency markets and the gold market. But, you know, I don't know that there's a model that can predict exactly when that's going to happen. My strategy is just to make sure I'm prepared so that whenever it happens, you know, I'm ready for it and I can profit from it.
We're seeing a flattening yield curve. Are you watching this theme and any comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think the yield curve is going to completely invert, you know, when you come to the total long end, the 30-year, because I think inflation is going to push up, yields in the long run, regardless of what happens. But, yeah, I mean, shorter-term rates have now come down because the Fed is no longer hiking rates. And so I think you've seen the yield curve compress a little bit. But I don't think we're going to invert the 30-year beneath, the 10-year or anything like that. I think that inflation premiums are going to be built into the longer end of the spectrum, even if the Fed comes back with more quantitative easing. In fact, especially if the Fed comes back with more quantitative easing, because the only way they can finance that is by printing a lot of money. Inflation is inflation.
So you're lightening up on U.S. shares. What about bonds, treasuries, short and long yield?
I'm not really making any changes to my strategy. I mean, I'm invested for the scenario that I've been forecasting for a number of years. And, you know, it's taken longer to kind of play out based on things that have happened along the way that enabled us to kick the can down the road. But because we have had the ability to do that, the problems have just gotten that much bigger. So now the collapse is going to be that much larger too, because, you know, you have a bigger bubble, so there's more air that's going to come out of it. So the strategies that I've been advising for years, I mean, those are the strategies that people need to adopt now. I mean, if they didn't do it in the past, I mean, they have a window of opportunity still open to do it now. People have no idea just how high gold stocks are going to go. And, you know, I've been holding on to gold stocks for years, obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, I'd have been better off not owning them and just buying them now. But, I'm glad I own them. But if you don't own them, you should certainly take advantage of this opportunity while you can, because at some point they're going to take off. And I don't think that point is that far off into the future. I can't give you an exact date, obviously, but I'd rather own them, and take a chance that maybe they go lower than don't own them and take a bigger chance that they go a lot higher without me. And again, you know, if you don't, you know which ones to buy, you don't have to figure it out. Just buy my gold fund. You know, Euro Pacific Capital Gold Fund, EPGFX. Morningstar gives it 5 stars. It's managed by Adrian Day. I don't even manage it myself. I was smart enough to hire somebody else to do that for me, who's an expert in this particular sector where you really need to know what you're doing, especially if you're in the junior miners, to know which ones to buy and which ones to avoid. So Adrian's been doing that for over 30 years. So yeah, people check out our track record and, you know, get a prospectus. But I mean, I think people should be buying that whole fund. In fact, we even have a no load version for people who don't like paying a load. And there's an advisor class. I mean, you can buy them, you know, I think at Schwab and Fidelity, of course, you can open up an account with me at Europe Pacific Capital and buy them. But, you know, you can buy my funds on a number of platforms that are out there. But it's Euro Pacific Gold Fund, EPGFX is the ticker symbol.
The U.S. dollar story, is that the primary theme behind your gold market thesis?
Well, it's certainly one of them. A weak dollar is part of the reason that the price of gold is going to go up. I mean, it's not the only reason, because a lot of other currencies are going to be weak too. Other central banks are creating inflation. But, you know, the dollar is at the epicenter of the global financial system as the premier reserve currency. So much has been based on the dollar. And in fact, the entire U.S. economy, the American standard of living, is a function of the dollar being accepted as the reserve currency. We're able to live beyond our means because of the dollar. We don't have to produce, but we can consume. We don't have to save, but we can borrow. All of that is a privilege that we have based on the dollar's unique role in the global economy. When that comes to an end, so too will the American way of life. I mean, Americans are in for a rude awakening when we have to live within our means again. Our means have diminished dramatically over time. We just do not have the productive capacity, the industrial base that we once had. And so we're going to see a precipitous decline in our standard of living. And a lot of that is going to be brought about by a weakening dollar. But as the dollar weakens, not only will you need more dollars to buy gold, but I think gold will be remonetized. A lot of people think, well, what's going to replace the dollar as a reserve currency? Nothing. You know, before it was the dollar, it was gold. So we don't have to go from the dollar to the euro or the dollar to the yen. We just go from the dollar back to where we started, which is gold. And if you know your history, the reason the dollar was initially accepted as the world's reserve currency was because it was thought to be as good as gold. Because not only was the U.S. dollar backed by the world's largest gold reserve that we had in the United States, but the U.S. dollar was convertible into gold on demand by holders. So the dollar was really nothing more than the American government's IOU for gold. And, of course, we defaulted on that promise in 1971, but the dollar still functioned as the reserve currency, despite the fact that it was no longer backed by gold, but at a lower rate. I mean, they marked down the value of the dollar considerably, and the price of gold went from $35 an ounce up to $800 back then. Then it had a bear market for a while, and here we sit now about $1,300. But the dollar has lost a lot of its value ever since we went off the gold standard, but it hasn't lost all of its value. But the rest of the value could go in this next monetary crisis that I see coming, or the dollar crisis. But I think as the world remonetizes gold, as gold resumes its place as a reserve asset, the primary reserve asset for central banks around the world, and of course most central banks still own some gold. They just don't own enough, and there are some central banks that don't own any. And so all these central banks are going to have to load up on gold. Well, what's the price going to have to be in order to make this possible? It's obviously going to have to be a lot higher, because there's not a lot of gold in the world, but there's not a lot of gold. So gold is going to be remonetized, but in order to do it, the price has to be a lot higher.
So even though the BRICS nations are starting to stockpile gold, including the People's Bank of China, not to mention Russia's central bank, silver as well now in Russia, you feel that it's just not enough. It will be a race to the bottom on all the key six currencies?
I don't think the Bundesbank will allow the ECB to destroy the euro. You know, understand inflation. They had an experience in Germany. The mark was a strong currency, and they don't want the euro to go the way, you know, of the Reichsmark. They want it to be strong like Deutschmark. So I think that the Europeans are more likely to salvage their currency. China certainly is gearing up, I think, to, you know, make sure that the, yuan is backed by gold and ends up being a premier currency. I doubt the Japanese, with all the domestic savings that they have, they want to wipe it all out. All the Japanese debt is held by the Japanese. So, I don't see why the Japanese would want to destroy the yen, but there are a lot of reasons why the United States wants to destroy the dollar. But even if it doesn't want to, it's going to happen, because there's no alternative. I mean, otherwise we have to default on all the bonds, a lot of other promises that have been made by American politicians, both current and prior, with respect to people expecting pensions and Social Security and Medicare and now Obamacare. You know, none of these commitments can be made. Of course, the politicians can pretend to make them with the printing press, but then they just pay everybody with money that has little or no value, which is, doesn't do very much good for anybody, but it allows the politicians to pretend that they kept their promise.
Do you see this devaluation unfolding, you know, like a lightning bolt, you know, similar to the rehypothecation we saw in Europe, a couple of those, Cyprus, in Poland as well? Could this be, you know, wake up and find you have the same currency amount in all your accounts, but they're worth half as much?
It's going to be like, you know, maybe a lightning bolt at some point. People will piece this together. And I, as I said, I think it's going to be when the Fed goes back to QE and back to zero, and then people finally figure out that this is a permanent monetization of debt, that America is, you know, just about, you know, a gigantic banana republic, except without the bananas. When people realize this, that's it. I mean, what's been supporting the dollar was the false belief that everything worked, that the Fed, you know, these guys were geniuses, that they saved the economy, and now they could just undo the stimulus and everything was going to be fine. When they realized that it's not fine, that the Fed didn't, rebuild the economy, they reflated the bubble. In fact, the bubble now is bigger than the one that popped in 08, which was bigger than the one that popped in 2000. This is the biggest bubble yet, and there's no way to replace it with a bigger one. This is the mother of all bubbles, and this is the end of it. And if the Fed even tries, which they will, to reflate another one, it'll just destroy the dollar. We'll overdose on stimulus because the amount of money they would have to print in order to try would destroy the dollar. Now, I didn't think that they would be able to reflate a bigger bubble than the 08 bubble, but I was wrong there. I thought they would try but fail. They tried and succeeded. That's why they were able to kick the can down the road, but at great cost to the future of America, because now we're dealing with a much bigger bubble. We've dug ourselves into a far deeper hole than the one we should have crawled out of in 08, but instead, you know, we took the easy way out and, you know, we dug ourselves into a deeper hole.
Tell people more about Shift Gold and what they can find if they navigate their browsers to your site.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to buy some physical precious metals, which I recommend that everybody do, number one, stay away from these so-called collectibles or numismatics, which are just an excuse for some gold firms to rip off their clients with 30, 40, 50, 100% markups. When you're buying gold, you want to buy as much gold as you can for the lowest possible markup. And that's why you want to buy these bullion coins and bars, and that's really what we sell at Shift Gold. That's my company, you know, just my name, S-C-H-I-F-F Gold. So check us out. You go to our website or give us a call, talk to a rep, and, you know, get yourself some physical precious metals. Again, if you want to, you know, really profit from the rise in gold, I mean, buying physical gold is to preserve your wealth. If you want to grow your wealth in the gold sector, get into the gold mining stocks. Obviously, there's risk there. You can lose wealth too, but I think that there's a great opportunity to make a tremendous amount of money in these mining stocks that I think are ridiculously cheap. I mean, if the price of gold goes up by 50%, you know, you can see a fivefold or more increase in the value of gold stocks. And that's without leverage. You don't have to borrow any money. You just own those stocks. But their earnings are highly leveraged to the price of gold. And, of course, if investors get bullish on the future price of gold, they'll express that bullishness by buying gold stocks. So my gold fund is if you want to really try to, you know, get rich off of this gold boom, but buy physical gold just to prevent yourself from going broke. But unfortunately, most Americans have no gold at all, and they are going to go broke. Even if they hold on to their dollars won't hold on to their purchasing power. So there's going to be a lot of people that have a lot of money but find themselves broke anyway because they can't buy much gold because they have the wrong kind of money. They have fiat money instead of real money.
Is this your Puerto Rico office or New England?
I'm at home right now, yes. This is my home office. I have an actual office here in Puerto Rico, too, but I'm not there. I'm at home right now. I got some stuff I got to do today, so I didn't feel like going in. All right, and it is nice and warm out. It's like 80 degrees and sunny. Those of you who are in the polar vortex.
Is that an invite for Gold Seek folks to stay at Peter Schiff's?
Check it out. And, you know, super high taxes are coming, if I'm right. And they're going to be raising everybody's taxes but the people who live in Puerto Rico, right? Not only do we have great weather, you keep your American passport, and the only taxes I pay down here are 4% taxed on my earned income through my business, and that's pretty much it. I pay zero taxes on capital gains and dividends, but I still got a U.S. passport.
They're calling it Crypto Rico now. Thank you, Peter Schiff.
Well, there's a few crypto guys here, but that's not the bulk of the people that have come down here. But there are a few cryptocurrency guys that, all right, take care.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
So much going on in the Trends Journal. And of course, topping that, a little bit of trouble in Venezuela. What's going on, Gerald Salinta?
Well, if you go to our November Trends Journal, which you get, we had called this. We saw it coming. We called it the triangle of death. We saw that Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina were going after Venezuela and with the United States behind it. And we said there'd be a coup attempt. And here we are. And just with Iraq and Libya and other places, it's not about their broccoli crop. It's about oil. And Venezuela is sitting on the world's largest oil reserves. And we heard our national security advisor, James Bolton, and it's all in our Trends Journal, the direct quotes, of how he said that they want to put in American oil companies into Venezuela, and that would be a benefit to the American people. So it's another coup attempt, and with a long history of one failure after another. Again, we could go to Iraq, take a trip to Libya. How about Syria? Isn't Yemen wonderful? Hey, how about Afghanistan? Hey, Honduras is doing great, isn't it? What about one after another? So this is going to be, if the people of America are complaining about a migrant crisis now, you haven't seen anything. Because already some 3 million people have left Venezuela in the last few years because of the economic conditions. War breaks out there. Whew. It'll go regional. It won't stay within the Venezuelan borders. You'll have a refugee crisis the likes of which no one could ever imagine.
You know, the U.S. military is talking about some activity there. Do you see that escalating the situation?
Well, if we have sick people in charge, like you have Elliot Abrams, they brought him in to head this under the BS line that they're bringing democracy. This is a guy that's a convicted war criminal for the actions he took during the Iran-Contra affair. And it's, you know, he was pardoned, you know, pardoned. But he's a war criminal. And his support of the vicious groups that were slaughtering people throughout many regions of Central America. So when you look at the people that are in charge of this, Pompeo, Bolton, and Elliot Abrams being the head of this, you can see where it's going.
Before we move on, could you tell us a little bit more about the image of you and Ronald Reagan in the background there?
That's how that one over to the right. Yeah, I was 30 years old. I was the number two guy running a major trade association at the time. And he was our keynote speaker. And this is 2 days before he's announcing that he's running against Gerald Ford. And so I was with him for about an hour and a half. In those days, it was very different. It was in Chicago, and the convention was at McCormick Place. And I picked him up at the Chicago Hilton. It wasn't like today when you had, you know, private drivers. This is, you know, 1976. And, you know, I went up and picked him up, him and Mike Deaver. I stayed in touch with Mike Deaver afterwards. And get in the car, and got in a cab. That was it. The three of us in the back of a cab. So everything was different in those days. And I had a brunch for him and our board of directors. And so I was with him for quite a while. I learned a lot. Actually, I used to do a lot of public speaking back in the day, do trend forecasts for trade associations and businesses from American Express to Citigroup, you name it, Nestle, you know, one after another. And I learned how to do speaking from him. And he used to use index cards. It's a funny story, actually. I used to have stage fright in those days. And here we are in McCormick Place. We had like 2,000 people. All the press is there because everyone was expecting that he was going to announce it soon. I said to myself, if I could walk out to the middle of the stage, he's backstage now. If I could walk out to the middle of the stage, I'll break myself a stage fright. So I did. I walked out. And of course, everybody there knew me because I was the number two guy. And they all start applauding. I said, I'm not Ronald Reagan, but he's backstage and he'll be out any moment. And that's how I broke myself a stage fright. And when I went backstage, my boss mad at me because he was supposed to announce the CEO of our company. And the CEO was supposed to announce Reagan. And I just took all the steam out of it. But anyway, that's part. And here's another photo that's very interesting. This is the book depository. And that's me and John Connolly and his wife, Nellie. And, of course, John Connolly is the guy that took the bullet in the back sitting in front of John F. Kennedy. And he was governor. This is their first time back. This is 1992. Their first time back since the assassination. And we're parked out in front of the book depository. That's the side that you see. In a limousine with Pat Cadell, a guy named John J. Hooker, may he rest in peace, and Connolly and his wife, Nellie, and another woman, Rama Fox, who was Larry King's girlfriend at the time. And Hooker got Perot on, and that's how I got Connolly wanted to meet me, because in my book Trend Tracking that I wrote in 1989, I'd forecast a new third party in the 92 elections and mentioned Ross Perot as being the maverick candidate. So that's why Connolly wanted to meet me. But anyway, it was Hooker that got Perot on Larry King. And Larry, that's how the whole thing started. So that's why his girlfriend was there at the time. But anyway, we're parked out in front of the book depository, and I'm sitting across from Connolly in the limousine, and he's telling the story of what happened that day. And it was quite an experience. I stayed in contact with him until February of 1993, and then he died in April.
Great story, and I've got to ask about the drum set.
Well, we have conferences, and we used to bring them over to the Mohegan over here. That's the place we're at now. So we'd have a band here, a little quartet, entertaining the people. I don't play them, but I do boogie.
Quick question on the markets. We've seen a lot of volatility, of course, in U.S. shares. What's going on there?
It's simple. It's interest rates. We're going to see, go back to September. When we called an economic 9/11, it was because the Fed chair had indicated they were going to raise rates one more time last year being 2018, and 3 to 4 more times in 2019. Then they backtracked on January 4th, and again later in the month on January, saying they were going to be patient because of the equity market losing. They were having their worst December since the Great Depression. So he made it very clear it was about the equity markets. So what we're going to see is more money being shoveled into the system. That's why you're seeing gold prices stay above 1300. And again, I've been on your show a long time. They have to break over 1385 to hit the breakout point. And the breakout point is 1450. I've been saying that, but it's probably going on 6 years now. And it hasn't made that. Now we're going to see more cheap money coming in. We are forecasting that the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates this year. How many times, we don't know yet, because there's a global slowdown going on. Auto sales around the world stink, particularly out of China. They had their worst year last year, the first year they lost auto sales since the 1990s. Their GDP level is at 1990s level. You're looking at Europe. Italy's back in a recession. Euro growth this year is expected to be maybe 1.5% at best. You're seeing countries like Germany teetering on recession. So what you're going to see is more cheap money going into the global system to give the corporate and market addicted heroin freaks more monetary methadone so that they can keep their game going and keep the bull running. And you're also going to see more quantitative easing. What that means is more cheap money flowing into the system. Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, in his own words, said they're cautious, they're being patient because of what's going on in the markets. That's their concern, not we the people. And the markets, you saw the study that came out, of all the stocks owned in the United States, the household stocks, 1% owns 50% of them. So Jerome Powell cares about that 1%, and they will do anything to keep the billionaires, and maybe even move into trillionaires before we finish our lives, because that's where the concentration of wealth is going.
Okay, Gerald Celente, you know, you're talking about the 1%, the Fed chairs. They don't pump the gas at the pumps. Their chauffeurs do this. If they did, we jokingly say here, they'd have their finger on the pulse of the folks. Give us an idea about this QE. We're in the middle of wrapping up a quantitative tightening cycle. You're talking about things, you know, they're going to be adding to their balance sheet, toxic debt. This is a big sea change event. We haven't heard this in their rhetoric yet.
No, and you won't hear it, because what are we looking at? $250 trillion worth of global debt. You're looking at China now, estimated $40 trillion of debt. The debt levels doubled since the panic of 08, more than doubled. And you look at also what's going on with Japan. They're in a recession. They're nearing a recession. They're risking recession. That's after having negative interest rates and 10-year bond yields that are negative. I mean, who would buy a negative bond yield? 10 years, you're going to get back less money than you're paying. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So the QT is over. It's QE. And you've already heard from Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, saying that they were thinking of plans to re-stimulate the economy through quantitative easing. This is after dumping basically $3 trillion into it and no results. It's only enriching the rich. That's all it's about. Take a look at home sales. Look at the lousy numbers coming out. December's terrible. Looking at home sales in Southern California off like 20%. So what are they going to do? New mortgage applications, they have to lower interest rates. You cannot take a 5% 30-year mortgage. So they're going to bring them back. They're going to get them down. And we're going to see cuts going back. So we believe as this thing goes down, you will see mortgage rates for like 2.8% before this thing collapses.
Gold is least a go-to asset, given the scenario you've given us.
That's it. You hit it. Because that's what you, that's why, that is why the central banks bought more gold last year than in a half a century. Because they know what's going on. That's a fact. They bought more gold last year than they have in a half century. They see the end is near. And that's why we're saying, look at gold prices now. And you know, I mean, the facts are there. I've been on your show a lot of years. I said that the bottom of gold last year in 2018 was $1,200 an ounce. It got to $1,185, $15 off. So we nailed it. And we said it has to break over $1,385, which it hasn't done, to go to the next level, which is to break over $1,450. You're going to see more and more people investing in gold as their currencies devalue because of all of the cheap money they're pumping into the system. The only reason the dollar is strong and the other ones are so weak is because of the crises they have in trying to stimulate their failing economies by pumping more money into it. So the yuan, the Chinese yuan, is going to be under pressure. The euro is going to be under pressure. The yen will be under pressure. The dollar will do better, but it's still not going to be worth the digital paper it's not printed on.
Okay, the People's Bank of China, the Moscow Bank, they agree with you. They're loading up. They're increasing their stockpiles on gold, the yellow metal. Why are the non-BRICS nations not getting on board? Are they just ignoring this? Do they think their reserves are high enough? Or is there something more nefarious going on?
The non-BRICS don't try to make it as popular because they want you to believe in their, again, their worthless digital currencies. So that's why they don't talk about it. And here we are. Hey, this is America. Check it out, man. Are not allowed to look into the vaults in Kentucky to see where our gold is or how much is there. You're not allowed to look at it. How dare you ask? We may have nothing there because the whole thing is a sham. Look at the value of the dollar since they created the Federal Reserve. Since 1913, it's down, what, 97%? It's backed by nothing. They will not allow we, the people, to see what's there. And even if they allowed us, who knows if it's even real if we demanded to see it.
You know, it's ironic. My late father actually guarded Fort Knox in Kentucky for a brief period during his military stint. So you seem to indicate this is a shell game. I mean, this is a three-card Monty. I mean, they don't want us to know maybe until it's much too late that it's time to prepare. Is that fair enough?
They're never going to tell us. They're going to say it's never too late. They didn't save us from depression. All you do is bail out the big guys. 78% of the American people living paycheck to paycheck. The money since 2009, the numbers are there. When 95% of it went for the 1%. According to the Tax Policy Center, it went to the 1%, got 82% of it. This isn't helping us. It's only enriching the rich. They're never going to tell us. They'll keep telling you to keep lying to us. They're pros at it. We should have no central bank. That was a major campaign issue throughout the 1800s. How dare private bankers in control of our money? You know, we just had Christmas. We're in February, not too long ago. The Prince of Peace, right?
Just a different millennia. Before we wrap up, there's a lot of material in these pages.
Yeah, I mean, there's no magazine like it in the world. And it's only, you know, $129 a year for a monthly, plus trend alerts each week. Trends in the news broadcasts. You know, we keep you on top of the news and ahead of the trends. It's the only magazine where you read history before it happens. There's no other trend magazine in the world. So if you want to prepare, prevail, and prosper for the times ahead, we may want to consider going to trendsjournal.com and read history before it happens.
Can you tell us, though, the top maybe one or two themes or trends you see?
Yeah, it's anything from cryptocurrencies to aging boomers to where the cannabis trend is going. And again, we were the first major magazine coming saying this is going to be big business. And so we keep breaking it down. Where is it going? Here are the ones. So we give not only trend analysis and trend forecasts, but strategic planning considerations that people might want to take. So you name it, we talk about it, from 5G, the new waves of radio frequency radiation that's going to destroy a good part of us and the planet, to again, to talking about geopolitics, economics.
Gerald Solente, can we shift gears back to U.S. shares? I know a lot of listeners would like your thoughts on whether or not we're going to hit new highs in the S&P 500, or if we've seen the top.
No, I don't think we've seen the top. I think they're going to keep doing everything they can to keep it going for a while. So that's, and again, we said it was going to go down into correction territory when, again, it's interest rates. That's all it is. They're going to do everything they can to lower interest rates to juice the markets. The markets have peaked. They hit their highs, but they have more room to go up if they keep funneling more money into the markets. That's the beginning and the end of the story.
I've got to give you a hat tip on that, because you're the first of our pundits here in the last 6 months to call that. Frankly, we agree with you here at Goldseek. Gerald Solente, please return.
Take care. Thank you very much.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, One Gold.
Goldseek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.